The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
So it's a pleasure to welcome, of course, regular contributor on the Final Furlong and other topics, former ministerial colleague, former Minister for Justice, Nora Owen, because she is the ambassador for a campaign. Nora, tell us about this campaign. It's to do with, in the specific, the Bloom Festival in the Phoenix Park, which is on, of course, not this weekend, next weekend, the bank holiday. First of all, it's HSE's dementia campaign. Just tell us about your role, first of all.
Well, when I went public about my own husband, Brian, who sadly is living with dementia since 2007, the HSE got in touch with me and said, look, you know, you've done some good interviews and you're explaining to people what it is like to be a carer for somebody with dementia. And they said, would you become, as it were, an ambassador or somebody who would talk about it? So that's what I'm doing today. The Bloom Garden is on starting on the 30th of May. And Dementia Understanding Together have got a garden. This is their third year now to have a special garden. And this year's garden is called Reminiscence. And it's based on, do you remember the Dean Martin song, Memories Are Made of This?
I can't remember what happened yesterday, Nora.
And I'm sorry you have a bad throat. But this is a reminiscence garden. So it's going to have things that people with dementia might remember, because people with dementia have quite good long-term recall, but not current recall. So they're going to have a little vegetable garden, they're going to have a little box hedge, they're going to have, you know, things like lovely old tea roses and daisies. And what we're trying to do is to say to people, if you are living with somebody and caring for somebody with dementia, bring them up to the Bloom Garden Festival and let them have a look around the garden and get some of those memories. One of the things they suggest is maybe if you have a little shed in your garden and you have somebody living in the house, put a little record player or a disc player and play music, old music, you know, like Dean Martin or Frank Sinatra or some of the older songs. Because when I'm with Brian, I was showing him photos the other day, and the minute he saw the picture of UCC where he did his science degree, he said, oh, UCC. Now, he doesn't say very much, but he instantly recognised the college, and it's more than 60 years since he was there and he recognised the college. Whereas if I show him a picture of the grandchildren, he mightn't instantly recognise them. If they're out there in the nursing home, he'll know them. So what we're saying is that people living with dementia, I mean, you have to be aware, Ivan, it's the same as if the whole town of Burr or Athenry got dementia in 1 year, because their population is about 4,000 to 4,500. That's the number of people who are diagnosed every year. So it's becoming more.
Of course,
that's
cumulative then, because the people who were diagnosed last year
are still alive.
Yeah, so if Brian was diagnosed in 07.
Yes.
So it's over 50,000 or something.
But also, I do want to make it clear that 9 out of every 10 older people do not get dementia. It's really, the statistic is about 1 in 10. And ironically enough, more women get dementia or Alzheimer's, but it may be because we live longer. And I mean, people confuse it all. There's about 400 different types of dementia. Brian has what's called vascular dementia. He had little strokes. Somebody else will have Alzheimer's. Somebody else will have frontal lobe. Then there's another dementia associated with Parkinson's. So it manifests itself in all sorts of different ways. Like Brian was singing songs up until nearly 6 months ago, remembering all the words. That's harder for him now. And in the choir I joined with Brian, the Forget-Me-Nots, we sing the songs, and people with dementia in the choir singing away, not even reading the words, just because they're all in the back of their memory and they come out. So this garden, I think, that Bloom are doing and that the HSE is sponsoring, is just a way of giving people, thousands will go to Bloom next week, giving people a chance to walk around and see what it might be useful to do in their own garden. You know, maybe they'll go away with an idea. Maybe they'll plant a nice rose, or maybe they'll do something that will remind and help people to reminisce going back, you know. And so that's really what I'm doing, and I'm selling the message,
yes,
I suppose.
And so if you're going to the garden, if you're going to the festival, do take a look at it. And will there be leaflets and things like that?
Yes, there will be. And there'll be people at the Dementia Garden, you know, giving out information and talking to people. And, you know, I mean, the Bloom is very well organised. As you know, it's going on for years and years. But, you know, people can get there and go in on the train, take the Lewis to Houston, and then there's a free bus up to the Phoenix Park. Right. It's not a place to bring your car, I will say.
I tell you what, if you have a buggy, would you keep it at home? Because I can't get in or out with people on the narrow footpaths there. But they love to bring their kids. It's lovely for the kids, but it's desperate for everyone else. Grouches like me. Now,
I'm just going to say, people, please don't get too upset with Ivan, because he does have a throat and he looks a little ill tonight.
All right. So, the garden is called Memories Are Made of This. I just want you to broaden it out beyond Bloom to HSE's Dementia Campaign, for which you're an ambassador, Understand Together. What does that mean?
What it means is that a lot of people don't understand what is happening to somebody who's developing dementia. So it's to get people to recognise, even when they're out shopping or going around in a social club or anything, that people who might be a bit hesitant or might be, you know, a bit slow to answer questions, just understand that there may actually be something going on in their brain and that they may not fully be able to understand, and to be more understanding of the condition. I have become quite good now, because of Brian's condition, of recognising the little signs. You know, sometimes you see a couple walking and one is holding the other's hand in a different way than you used to, and you say they're just keeping an eye on them, that they don't wander off in a supermarket or in a shopping centre. So that's what the Dementia Understand Together is, that we all together recognise it, because so many people are now developing it that there won't be room. They won't all end up going into nursing homes. There just won't be room. And many people, they reckon there's 155,000 people caring for people living with dementia. And most of the time, their lives at the early stages are okay. You know, we were able to do lots of things until towards the second half of Brian's 10 years, it began to get a little bit worse. And things happen about them getting dressed and about using the bathroom and all the kind of things, the day-to-day things. As I liken it to my four-year-old grandson, Alfie. Alfie is learning every day. Brian was forgetting every day. So everything Brian learned was disappearing, whereas you watch a small child, they're learning every day.
And I knew Brian 30 years ago, and he was very intellectually very bright, sharp, but a very placid and quiet man.
I was the noisy one.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me, how does the person with dementia, who has a level of awareness that they're not quite up to what they were at, and clearly if they're in a nursing home and so on, is there a sense of personal loss of dignity, humiliation, or anything like that? Because, you know, Brian was nobody's fool. No. You know what I mean? He was a smart guy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, in terms of, is that an element of added difficulty?
It is.
Like, in other words, I often think of people with terminal illnesses, say cancer. The hardest part is not necessarily the dying, it's living with the thoughts of dying.
That's right.
In other words, so how difficult is it dealing with dementia for the person in terms of their own self-awareness?
In the early stages of the onset of dementia, people can be very aware, because they get very frustrated when they're trying to get a word out, and sometimes get quite angry. And as the condition develops, actually that kind of worry disappears. But what happens is other habits come in. For example, I found you couldn't rush a person with dementia. You know, if you were going out at 2 o'clock, you'd really have to start at about 1 o'clock to sort of make sure the shoes are on, get the coat out. You can't suddenly
slowing down and an
understanding. If you said to somebody, we're going out at 2 o'clock, it didn't really mean anything. And I was rushing a bit at the end. And I'd find if I left it too late, then I couldn't push Brian quickly to get his shoes on and get his coat on. You just, because he'd get kind of a bit angry and he might even clench his fists. He wouldn't hit me or anything, but he might clench his fist because he knew that there was something wrong, that he wasn't able to quite grasp what was going on. And I've noticed now, you know, people with it, it manifests itself in such different ways. Some people will remember very actively what they did yesterday, and others will have no memory. And of course, if you're sitting beside somebody with dementia, you have to be very understanding, which is where this term comes from, because they will repeat things over and over and over and ask the same questions.
What about passing the time of day? In other words, like I know people, elderly people, and they've lost their sight, and you know, it's a huge thing in terms of, they used to read a lot.
Yes.
And then some people have big magnifying glass and they still read or whatever, and they're watching the telly and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
With dementia, what sort of cognitive level is one at in terms of how do you pass the day?
Well, the cognitive level goes down all the time. It can, if you are, there's about 1 in 10, I think, of the people who get dementia will get it, what they call early onset. That's before 65 and younger. I mean, there are people age 50 who get it. The cognitive impairment is very difficult, because somebody who loved to read, I found Brian loved to read. He loved the old thrillers and the Lee Child kind of books.
Can he read now?
No, there's no reading now. And he
was that an early thing to go?
Well, it went about 3 to 4 years
ago.
Could
you read to him?
I could. And he loved the Miss Marple's.
Audiobooks?
Audiobooks, no. Wasn't able to cope with. Noise is another thing that really upsets people with dementia. If there's a lot of loud noise, it kind of upsets their movement. But he liked the Miss Marples and the Midsummer Murders, where there was people getting murdered all the time. And he would watch those up till about 2 years ago. Then I began to realise, if I went out of the room and came back in and said, now Brian, how many more people have been murdered since I was out, he wouldn't be able to tell me.
Okay, tell me this.
But music and walking, and Brian used to come to the movie, he liked to go to the cinema with me, even if he fell asleep for half of the picture. He enjoyed the kind of activity of the cinema. We could go out for a meal, but I would usually made sure there was somebody else with us, because there wasn't much conversation.
Now, I know from you as a friend that the particular wrench of you being the primary carer to moving to a nursing home was very difficult for you. I'm talking about your own health here, Nora, and your own emotional well-being.
Yeah.
Tell me, if someone is faced with that crisis in their life for a long and happy companionship and marriage and loving situation, where you're actually, it's therapeutic for you to mind the person and that's taken away from you. How do you cope with that?
Well, that's probably one of the most difficult decisions, because you have to mind yourself as a carer. And it's one of the things the Dementia Understand Together campaign is also stressing, that it's not just the person living with dementia, it's also the people who are caring for them. Because if you get sick, or I had a fall last year, which was an eye-opener to me.
I've told you to cut down on the gym, but anyway,
ironically, it was in a bus and we were on our way to sing. And I had a bad fall and ended up just for one day in an emergency department. And luckily, it's the one time, Ivan, when I make a joke out of it, I was glad I was reasonably well covered, because I didn't break my hip, and I should have with the fall I had. Whereas if I'd been very, very thin, which I'm not, I might have broken my hip. But it made me kind of stop and think about, if that happened to me and if I had broken my hip, where would I be going with Brian? And in a way, it was the start of the last 3 or 4 months of my caring facility for Brian.
But if someone is faced with that, they should brace themselves
for the emotional pain of it. Yeah, and they should. I mean, I couldn't say to people, when Brian went in at the end of September last year, and if somebody asked me, I just had to walk away, because I just kept breaking down. I'm used to saying it now, and I feel I have a little capacity to help to let people understand what is going on in people's lives who have dementia. And a lot of people stop me and say, I was glad to hear you talk about it. My mother, my grandmother, my father, my aunt. Everybody has a relative, and they all tell me about
them. Tell me, Nora, is there any cure?
No, there are tablets that people start to take as soon as the first signs show, but they really only just kind of keep it from dropping down too fast. The way Brian's geriatrician, who's a wonderful man, Kieran Donegan, he said, Nora, it's kind of like a graph. the tablets sort of keep them on a kind of plateau. But if anything happens, if they had a fall, if they get a bad infection, he said, you drop down a bit on the graph. I did science, so I was kind of watching all this. He said, you drop down a bit to another level and then maybe something else. And I think when I had my fall and Brian realised I wasn't as able for certainly 3 or 4 weeks to kind of be, I had to get some care in, extra care in, I think it probably affected him. He probably wasn't able to say what's wrong with you and why aren't you here? I was at home all the time, but why aren't you doing this or that? It probably affected him to take him down. Now, Brian is a good age. He's 86 now. So, you know, at 86, we all will be kind of moving around.
The final thing I want to ask you about dementia, because my father-in-law, Deirdre's father, had Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And what I learned from that is it actually does kill you. The way the disease progresses, it affects your swallow and it affects your physical. So the hollowness of not knowing people and the vacantness and all the brain factors. Does dementia ultimately take your life?
Well, you see, this is the interesting thing. The different forms of dementia. Now, everybody thinks it's Alzheimer's, but there's Alzheimer's is one element. The kind of
Alzheimer's is insidious.
Yes, and it's the one that I believe, I'm not a doctor, but I believe it's the one that affects your body more. Brian's health is good and he's a bit slower and, you know, he's not quite as active as he was, but he loves the walking. So the different forms of dementia, some of them are more aggressive and therefore do actually, as you say, affect your swallow. And if you have Parkinson's with the dementia, obviously I don't have to explain how that affects people's mobility and their ability to get around.
You're listening to Nora Owen, ambassador for the campaign in relation to HSE's Dementia Unstand Together. Do pop into the Bloom Festival and see their garden. Memories have made this name after the Dean Martin hit. And the idea is that you would see ideas for your own garden for caring for a loved one.
And designed by Robert Moore, I should say.
Okay.
That.